You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath. Rock out with your geek out.
Hey everyone, this is future Carrie the Metal Geek, and I wanted to just let everyone know that this episode there was some technical difficulties with audio, especially on my audio. So if I sound bad or overmodulated, it was not my fault. Anyways, enjoy the show. We thought the topics and the discussion were too titillating not to share. So here it is in all of its audio glory.
Come on, George. Say it.
So what is it you want me to say, Carrie?
You got to say balls.
Oh, see, you already said it. There you go. Good job.
But now you have to say it, or it doesn't come true. The wish doesn't come true.
The wish doesn't come true. I don't want it to be expected, Carrie. It's supposed to be unexpected. That's what makes it great.
Well, when it happens and I don't expect it, I will be very not disappointed, if that makes any sense.
It makes plenty of balls, is what it does.
There you go. Now we can start the show. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 199 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
George Tripsis.
What's up, sir? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
We don't have our other co-host, Dave. Brutal Dave is not here. He's actually getting ready for the Sherwood Fair. Getting a lot of that stuff ready and practicing his accent. And the metal detector is out detecting some metal or something. I don't know what he's doing. But he's not here he's tonight.
Scourging for metal.
He's scavenging the internet for new metal bands. Unpronounceable new metal bands, apparently.
That's right.
So we brought in a very special guest. Somebody that I see quite often, maybe on the daily. That is the voice from the other room. Kimmy Borgir, my wife.
Yes.
Welcome from the other room.
Thank you. I am also in another room, so I'm keeping to the name.
So you literally are a voice from the other room.
Exactly. But it's a different other room this time.
That's right. She's not going to be fact-checking us this time.
This time we can actually hear what she's saying from the other room.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Very true. And I wanted to bring her on because we have some cool stuff to talk about. Definitely something that's tickling our geek. We can talk about that. But I think what I wanted to do for this episode is, for our main topic at least, is talk about what our Oscar predictions are. I haven't seen a lot of the stuff on there, which doesn't really matter. But we predict it now, and then after the Oscars, we can compare with each other. Okay, is that a spaceship flying by? What is that?
Whatchamacallit? The from Mandalorian.
The Razor's Crest.
Razor's Crest, thank you.
But that got destroyed. Spoilers.
Womp womp.
Okay. So as we start off every episode, I want to talk about what we've been doing, what we've been playing, what we've been watching. We can start with you, George. What have you been watching?
Oh, man, what haven't I been watching? I've been watching a lot of stuff.
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of stuff on the Netflix and the HBOs and the Primes, you know, all the offerings that the world has to give me and the stuff that I've missed out and all that jazz. Have we talked about Zack Snyder's thing, right? That's the last thing we talked about.
Yeah, we did. Okay, so on a real quick tangent... I was just a guest on Craig Price Castoff today, which I know we're going to be competing against each other soon.
Oh, you and I?
I think so. I think we're going to make a Metal Geeks episode out of it.
Oh, okay.
That'd be awesome.
But I was on it tonight. He had a friend of his that runs a brewery called Ben, and his name was Ben. And the movie that we were given was Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. We luckily didn't have to recast all of the main characters. So here, check it out. Let me pull up my notes here that I have. It's very interesting. So we had to replace Cyborg, the Flash, Silas Stone, Commissioner Gordon, the Joker, Martian Manhunter, and Iris West.
Yeah, that's a lot of people to replace.
So the episode is out, and spoilers.
Who wins?
I won.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Barely.
Yay, Carrie.
It was a very tight episode. If you want to go check it out, go to matineeheroes.com/castoff. They're on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and all those places. It's a lot of fun. This show was a lot of fun. But
I would know. I'd never been invited.
You have been invited. Shut up.
Just joking. Come on.
Don't make people try to feel bad for you when it's actually happened. I won by the very last name. Kersey Clemons played Iris West in the movie. Barely in it. I chose Zoe Kravitz.
For
Iris West, the Flash's girlfriend. The girl that he saves.
She's playing Catwoman in the new Batman movie.
I know, but it's a different universe.
Okay.
So, my opponent chose somebody in the same family.
Jason Momoa? No.
Not Jason Momoa.
Lenny Kravitz,
yeah.
Actually, yes.
I mean, there's the only two Kravitzes I know, so.
Lisa Bonet, her mom.
Oh, okay.
Not planned. It was just very, very strange that we both picked the same, like the mother and daughter in that family. And what a damn good looking family. That's all I got to say.
Good genes.
Good genes. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. So this, do you want to talk about Justice League?
I think we talked about it last episode. So I don't.
We did a little bit.
I don't think I have anything new to talk about. Really.
Okay.
But I did I was, have a few movies.
So. I was lucky I didn't have to watch it again for this thing. That's all I got to say.
Oh, thank goodness. That would have been a slog. So I finally saw Promising Young Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I liked that movie quite a bit.
I've been wanting to watch that.
Yeah, I rented it as soon as it was available. So
okay.
I highly recommend it. I don't want to say too much about it because, you know, just kind of talking about the movie can kind of give it away. But
okay.
Carrie Mulligan crushes that role.
She wasn't great on SNL last week.
Well.
But she was great on Doctor Who, though.
Well, SNL has never been good either since, like, I don't know, the early 2000s.
You could definitely tell she was, like, reading cue cards the whole time.
She probably didn't want to do it. That's what
it may be. It was an Oscar push, probably.
Yeah, probably. I watched the MonsterVerse movies in preparation for Godzilla vs. Kong.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I watched Gareth Edwards' Godzilla.
Had you not seen him before?
Oh, I've seen them all. I just okay. kind of like...
Refresh?
Getting back into that world. So I watched all those and made me realize that I really liked Gareth Edwards' Godzilla way more than I remember.
Hmm.
And Kong Skull Island is probably the best out of all of those movies.
I agree on that one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And King of Monsters is definitely the worst.
I don't even remember that one.
That's how bad it was.
We actually, for the first time this past weekend, went to the movie theater and saw Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, yeah?
A friend of ours rented a whole theater and invited his friends. We didn't have to pay for it, but we hadn't been into AMC in so long. We used to have that, what was it, the
list?
The
A-list or something?
The A-list. So we had all these credits on our account. So we wound up getting like a large popcorn, two large drinks, like a box of like Junior Mint, and then like a pickle. We paid like $2 for it all.
Yeah.
And then she's like, would you like a refill on your popcorn now? So she grabbed another big box and just filled it with popcorn. We're like, oh my God. I hadn't had...
take this popcorn now.
Please take it, yeah.
Basically.
I got so sick off popcorn for sure. I was like, okay, no more.
But it was so good.
And,
it was good.
What'd you think of Godzilla vs. Kong?
It was the second time I'd seen it. I watched it when it first came out on HBO.
Oh, okay.
It's It's fun. It's not a great movie. There's parts of it that don't even really need to be there narrative-wise.
I kind of wish they would have just made it a way shorter movie. But other than that, it was fun.
The fighting was fun. The neon was great. There was a lot of fucking neon in Hong Kong.
Yeah, you know, it was fun seeing the big monkey punch the big lizard in the face and vice versa.
I like seeing the big monkey scratch his butt in the beginning.
Yeah, man, talk about it. Kong got to ass, right?
That Kong ass. So, Kim, what did you think about the movie? It was your first time seeing it.
You mean it was good? I don't know if it was me. It just sounded like they just like jumped right in. There was no like exposition or whatever. It was just like, okay, now we're gonna do this. Now we're gonna fight. Like, what's going on with this underground basin?
It's not important.
They introduced a lot of the stuff in the previous movies, but it doesn't. Like you said, it's just not important. It's just exposition. It doesn't really matter, truthfully.
Yeah. Well,
what's important that we got to that point where Kong and Godzilla looked at each other and they had that Martha moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it was a Mothra moment.
Mothra moment.
That's the next one if they have a next movie, right?
Is your mom's Mothra too?
Yeah.
It's basically exactly. That's exactly what happened. and then they like, you know, helped each other out after he got defibrillated by a spaceship because you know that makes sense.
Doesn't it? And how the hell? And okay, so. I know Kim liked Alexander Skarsgård in the movie, but okay, there's two things. Number one,
barely in the movie, but yeah.
How the hell did he was a professor or wrote a book or whatever he was? How did he know how to pilot that spaceship so quickly? Yeah,
he guessed.
And how did he run away from the spaceship when he was using it as a defib? He had to jump down from Kong somehow. Like the next shot, he was like hundreds of feet away. I'm like, how did that happen?
He bounced off of Kong's ass, yeah.
Maybe.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, he can bounce a quarter off it. Why not a human?
Exactly. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's stupid fun, you know.
Yeah,
exactly.
I was thinking about seeing it in the theaters, but Catherine hadn't met her 2 weeks yet on the scene, so we waited.
It was literally a good popcorn flick.
Exactly.
So after that, I watched all the Mighty Ducks movies in preparation for the new TV show that's on Disney Plus.
I've never seen the Mighty Ducks.
Either
any
of them?
None of them.
Are you watching the show?
No.
No. So do yourself a favor, watch the movies first, and
maybe
then watch the show if you're even inclined to watch the show.
Maybe.
It's what Disney does best is
is the show good? Are you watching the show yet?
You know, the show's not too bad. There's some parts of it that I like question, but it's a kid show. It's
somebody
like teenagers.
Somebody said it was better than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Well, they're definitely wrong.
Okay.
But
it was another podcast that I was listening to. I'm like, oh, okay.
But Falcon and Winter Soldier is really good. I'm watching that as well.
We're watching it too. I don't know if I'm as enamored as some people are for that show. It just feels disjointed in it parts. And I think a lot of it had to do, which I heard this, that the original plot that they filmed had something to do with a virus being released. So they had to cut a lot of stuff out and do a lot of voiceover to change narrative driven scenes and stuff like that. So,
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. That happens all the time in shows. I do think like the primary story of what the show is trying to tell you is really good and really powerful and some really good character moments. I just feel like the show is edited sometimes unevenly. Like there's moments of the show where this show is like fucking on point.
Yeah.
And then it gets toward the end and you feel like you're getting ramped up for something else and then the show is over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, all right, cool, I guess.
How do we live in a world where we like Baron Zemo more than Captain America?
it's a good one, is what it is. With those dance moves, you can't be upset about it.
Did you see Marvel did like a 60-minute like dance remix of him?
Well, apparently he did an interview where he had a much longer cut. He saw a longer cut of his
dance
sequence and. It got out on Twitter, and then the fans clamored,
yeah,
wanting to see it, so they released it.
He's great. He's a great actor. He's we watched this other show. We need to watch the second season. What was the first season called?
The Alienist.
The Alienist, yeah.
Yes, I think it's on, I forget what station. But yeah.
We watched it on
TNT.
TNT, something like that, yeah. Thank you. We watched it on Hulu,
I
think.
It's available on HBO Max.
Oh, is it? That's where we watched it. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We haven't watched the second season, but...
There's another TNT show that HBO Max purchased called Search Party, which is really good, if you haven't seen it.
Is that the girl from Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch that.
It's really good. It gets bonkers in a lot of places, but it always ramps up and keeps you wanting to watch more.
Okay. What else have you been watching?
I'm going to try to keep this brief. I don't want to keep this going on for too long.
Sure.
I watched the new Invincible show on...
Okay, great. I am caught up.
Yeah, it's great. I have nothing to complain about it.
No, me either.
The Invincible series when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really good then, but I didn't keep up with it because there are so many issues.
It went on for like 100-something issues, yeah.
Yeah, it has the same problem that Walking Dead had. Like, it was good and compelling, but issues came out faster than I could keep up with.
Yeah, monthly.
And then I just got behind, so I just never finished the story. I think I only read, like, maybe 20 issues, maybe.
Okay. I only ever read the first graphic novel. The show is phenomenal. The animation is great. The voice acting is amazing.
Oh, man, they're killing it in the voice acting department.
Really. It's brutal.
Every single star in that show.
Yes.
And the music in that show is great, too. A lot of Run the Jewels in there.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah, I knew you were going to like that. I was like, oh, they are playing a lot of Run the Jewels in the show. You're going to dig that. But, yeah, the voice cast of the Maving Steven Yeun is – I never thought of him as Invincible, but he works. J.K. Yeah, Simmons is can't think of the dad's name now, the character.
Commissioner Ion Gordon?
Man. Not Commissioner Gordon.
It's Ion Man or something like that.
Man, but the end, not to spoil anything if you haven't watched it yet, please go watch it. The end scene of first episode is so fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they kind of spoil that whole thing in the trailer of the show, so. But it's great. Definitely check it out. Lastly, the thing I watched recently was Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
We watched that.
It was way sillier and weirder than I thought it would be, but it was quite charming and funny.
It was. I actually wished it was more weird, and they took it to another level. I was like, okay, they're not going to the level I want them to go to, but they did a lot, but... I don't know. It was funny.
I didn't see that coming at all. I thought it was just going to be like, you know, a run of the mill, like awkward fish out of the, you know, fish out of the ocean kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fish out of water, kind of like odd duck scenarios trying to discover themselves. And they decided like, no, we're not going to do that. We're just going to, you know, dance with our left feet kind of deal.
Yeah, it was damn funny. A movie that we watched that was not funny. We watched a couple Netflix movies recently. One, I gotta say, was not funny.
Is it one that the metal detector would not like?
No, he would hate it. Justin would fucking hate this movie.
Yes.
Thunder Force, right?
Oh.
The only...
That looks really bad from the picture alone.
It was really such a not good movie. It didn't really go anywhere. It was just... The direction of it was strange. Jason Bateman was actually really great in it. The one thing that actually saved the movie was the soundtrack. The fight scenes and all that, all the music was done by this guy that was hired to do the soundtrack and all the music, hired Scott Ian and Dave Lombardo to do the music.
So it was just heavy metal music?
It was heavy metal music. And at the end, there was a Thunder Force theme song. And it was, you know, Scott Ian, Dave Lombardo, but also had Corey Taylor and what's that girl's name? Hailstorm? Lizzie Storm. Lizzie Hale.
Lizzie. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not a bad song, but not a good movie. Jason Bateman was the only funny thing in that movie, truthfully. And what else did we see on Netflix? The Eric Andre movie.
The what?
Eric Andre?
Oh, the comedian, Eric Andre.
Yes. So he had this movie, what was it called? Bad Trip. So it was
That also looked really stupid, too.
It's funny. What it is, it's sort of like take Impractical Jokers are what sort of like what Borat is. So it's a narrative-driven sketch comedy freaking people out movie.
Like Jackass.
Yeah. I think actually people that worked on Jackass worked on this.
Oh, okay.
So it makes sense. I thought it was funny. I think there's something weird and subversive about Eric Andre's comedy.
Do you have to like Eric Andre's comedy?
Probably so.
Okay. So I probably won't like it.
Maybe not then.
Yeah. A lot of his comedy is just like, look at me yell at people.
There is some of that.
Some of that, or is that mostly it?
Okay, most of it.
Oh, also, I watched the new show, The Nevers, on HBO. I forgot to mention that.
Okay, now y'all can talk about that, because I tuned out during that first episode. I'm like, yeah, not for me.
So,
I thought it was great.
Yeah. I just watched the first episode. I haven't watched the second one yet.
Is the second one even out yet? I didn't know the second one was out yet.
It's on my DVR, so I guess it was, because I kind of forgot, to be honest, with everything going on in the world. So, yeah. I mean, I'm excited, you know, because the first was really supposed to be a comic book, but then I got changed up, and now it's a show on HBO, so I like some of the actors. It's got Nick Frost, Carrie. You love Nick Frost.
I do love Nick Frost. It was a Joss Whedon joint before, right?
Yeah. He stepped away after the first season was completed, so.
But let me do that, like, Jane Espenson's in it, just dealing with it, so, you know, I love her. There's a lot
Jane Espenson?
Yeah. She's like one of the major, you know, Whedon people. So,
and she was the showrunner for Once Upon a Time.
Okay. Yeah. And
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense now, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Nevers is fantastical. It's fun. It has a very interesting world. The characters are interesting so far, and my wife likes it. So. That's, you know, a twofer then.
There you go. Cool.
There's a show that she likes and that I kind of find interesting. So there you go. Hopefully keeps continuing to be good. That's what I'm
Maybe I'll give it another shot. I know, because
it is a little heavy on the narrative side. If you're not paying attention, like you can get lost really easy in the details.
Yeah.
Like what's going on and what's the point?
I think Carrie's like, that's too much British. I think that was part of your problem.
It felt very British to me, like a very British period drama.
Well, it does take place in England.
I know.
That's my bag right there. I mean, I love that stuff.
So watch it with subtitles so you can understand what
you're saying. There you go. That's how I started watching Doctor Who back in the day. It was with subtitles.
I do want to talk about a crime documentary that we started watching. We haven't finished it yet, but it's called Why Did You Kill Me?
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
Why did you kill them?
I don't know. It's actually produced by one of our friends.
A good friend.
Jordan Wade Johnson, a good friend of ours, used to be part of, what's the name of that? Brain Fart.
Oh, and now you have put me in it.
Oldness. Thank you. God damn it.
The Oldness.
Well, we're involved with all the Oldness guys. He was one of the guys there. He's since moved to California. Now he's producing Netflix movies and working for Disney, apparently.
What's he doing for Disney?
I'm not sure. Not quite sure what his position is, but yeah, I mean, if you have a little while, go watch it. It's pretty cool so far.
We started watching another thing, but I think on HBO, but it was
The QAnon thing?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not ready for all that.
I watched the QAnon thing. It's actually pretty fun.
I've fallen asleep twice during that first episode.
Oh, man.
That was playing Borderlands. So, yeah.
It's very interesting and very...
No, I do want to learn more about it because I don't really know a lot about it. But I want to talk about another show real quick that I've been watching. And I think I have you to thank this. Sink for this, George. Were you the one that recommended For All Mankind?
Yes. That's my favorite show on Apple TV Plus.
Nice. It is one of my favorite shows right now. It is so, so good.
What season? Are you on season one or two?
I'm probably about to start episode 8 of season 1.
It's great. It only gets better, so just keep watching.
I will. It's really, really good. Has RoboCop in it.
It's the best thing that nobody is watching because nobody has Apple TV Plus except for like five people.
Yeah, really. No, truthfully, it's so true. It's a great alternate history type show.
Yeah, where it makes me kind of jealous. It makes me kind of wish that the scenario in real life played out the way it played out in the show.
So back in the late 60s, apparently, the way that in the show, the Russians were the first people to land on the moon. So we were trying to catch up. And then they had the first woman to land on the moon. So America tried to catch up. So there's like a whole thing about, you know, putting together a bunch of females to go to the moon. It's like this female empowerment thing. Mm-hmm. It has one of your guys from True Blood in it, which he's really great.
Chris Bauer,
yeah. It had the girl from Lost in it. I can't think of her name.
I can't think of her name either, but she's in a lot of shows.
Yeah. It's really, really good. There's a couple characters that I hated at first that I'm sort of liking now, and then vice versa, you know?
That's a good tale sign of some good screenwriting. Is what that
is. Yeah. I like Gordo. He's great.
Gordo is great.
It's because we share a name, but
keep on watching because Gordo kind of like I got sour on Gordo after a while, but that's just me. But he comes around. He comes back around in season two, so it's hard to say.
Well, he went through some shit in season one for sure.
Yeah.
So thank you for that recommendation. If you guys are out there and you have access to Apple TV, give it a shot.
Dude, yeah. Please. It's like, I think it's $7 a month or less. You know.
We got it free when I bought our new phone, so for like a year.
I don't know if Apple is still running that promotion or not, but
I don't know.
You know, if anyone's listening and they're like on the fence about trying it out, there are some really good shows on Apple TV plus some really good movies too. So, you know, give it a shot.
Ted Lasso was really good. We talked about that before.
Easily one of the best things I watched for last year.
Yeah, literally. All right, so let's talk about some video game stuff real quick, and we'll move on. Have you been playing any games recently?
The only game I've been playing is the Mario on my Nintendo Switch. Yeah. That's about
Okay, so we'll talk about the game that Kim and I played together in a minute, but I've been playing the DLC, the second DLC pack for Doom Eternal, and I got to this part the other day and just kicking my butt.
Yeah.
So thank you, Christopher Street, for doing that to me. From I Am Geek, he works on the game. But holy crap, I was like, you know what? I need to like relax a little bit. So I just opened up my Mario game and started playing Mario 3D World. I'm on the last world, I think, for that game.
Okay.
The Koopa world?
I think so.
Catherine already beat the game, so I'm
going to
catch up. Yeah.
There's Bowser's Fury. I haven't beat that yet either, but yeah.
I haven't even started that game.
That was fun so far. Holy crap, man. That Doom Eternal is so difficult. I know, but they just ramped this up. There's like these... Okay. Frustrating. There's like these two. There's like this one bad guy. I don't know what villain just destroys your ass. He's like the guy that carries the big sword, the big axe, and he like runs around. You can only hit him in certain points. But there's level I'm playing right now. There's two of them, and they're being powered up by this character that I can't find that's giving them a buff. And I'm just like so frustrated. I'm like, okay, F this game. Like I'm gonna go play Mario. But if you guys are out there and you're looking for a couch co-op game to play with your significant other or just a friend, I cannot recommend It Takes Two enough to everybody.
I've been wanting to play that game. It looks
good. It is the best game I've played in probably the past 2 years.
Can you play it without a partner? Or is it
you cannot. No. You have to have a partner.
It's a co-op game.
Co-op. You can play it couch co-op. That's how we play the whole game. Or you can play it like I know on Xbox you could download a free app. So whoever is hosting the game, you can go play through their game. just like the last game that the company did. But oh my God, everything about this game is amazing. It's the gameplay. I mean, the platforming of it is spot on. Every freaking level is they throw something different to you.
Yeah.
Basically, the plot of it is you're a couple, and you're going through a divorce, and your daughter has created these wooden dolls of her parents, and she cries on them. And then somehow you become the parents become the wooden dolls, and you're trying to get back into your human form, but you have to have your daughter cry on you again.
It's weird, but I mean, it's very a weird. Game.
It's Honey, I Shrunk the Divorced Parents is basically what it is. There is so much interesting gameplay element and style, and every level is completely different than the last level. Like one of the levels, you're actually inside of like a hornet's nest type of thing. You're fighting him, and everything is like co-op. You have to do everything together. It's not overly difficult.
No.
But there are some points where you actually sort of have to figure out how to do things. And I always got frustrated playing co-op games with you. No offense, Kim.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, go here. But this game, I tried to just totally let it go and just have fun with it.
So it was couples therapy in real life.
It was. It really was. It's a great, phenomenal game. I cannot recommend it enough. And it's only like $40 or something like that.
Yeah, it's a budget title. Yeah.
Go to Walmart. You can get it for like $33.
There you go.
Not a sponsor. What are your opinions on the game, Kim?
Well, no, I enjoyed it too. It's, you know, just because between something like where you both have to hit the lever at the same time, or one person pulls like something towards you where you jump on it and then moves it, you know, with like a magnet or whatever. So typical co-op game, but it was fun.
Yeah,
it wasn't really hard.
Every level that you went to had a different mechanic like that one.
Yeah.
Like, I can turn into a plant, and then the female character, whoever playing that, had like a water gun, so you had to make stuff grow and make the soil good enough so you can go into it. It was just very interesting gameplay design. Yeah, I love that game, really. So
hopefully they make something else. We'll play it as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys want to get into our topic of the evening?
We have a topic.
We do have a topic. We're going to give our predictions for some of the highlights from the Oscars coming up this weekend.
So we're kind of giving predictions.
We're kind of giving predictions.
We're not giving them full predictions, just half predictions here.
They're not going to be informed predictions.
They're not.
It's going to be,
opinionated predictions.
Because we haven't seen everything.
Uneducated opinion, yeah.
All right, so we'll do like best actor, supporting actor, maybe best. There's a cartoon, right? Best.
Animated film.
We'll do that maybe.
I don't think it's animated.
We can do best picture.
Animated feature film.
All right.
There's cinematography, adapted screenplay, original screenplay, visual effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do actor in a leading role. Riz Ahmed Rogue. From Sound of what? Roll.
Roll.
We're picking on you. It's all good.
Yeah, I know. Riz Ahmed, Sound of Metal. Chadwick Boseman, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Anthony Hopkins, The Father, Gary Oldman in Mank, or Steven Yeun in Minari. I've only seen one of these movies.
Yeah,
I've seen three of these.
Okay. Uh-huh. Which ones?
I've seen Sound of Metal, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and Mank.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you like Mank?
It was okay. It was a little slow for me.
I haven't seen it yet. I really liked Riz Ahmed in this role, but I bet you that Chadwick Boseman is going to posthumously win this award.
I guarantee you he's going to win this award.
Yep. What say ye, Kim?
Yeah, I think so too. It's, you know, I don't know. Anthony Hopkins seems to be getting a lot of good buzz about that, but that movie's just a little too depressing. I don't think I want to see that.
Not only that, he's won one before, so.
That is true. You know, it's like, I'd like, you know, to see Steven Yeun as well, you know, but I think Riz Ahmed definitely.
I've heard Minari, great things about Minari.
Yeah.
I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
And Steven Yeun is killing it right now.
He's hot.
Invincible. He's hot. Too hot. Okay, actor in supporting role, Sacha Baron Cohen, The Trial of the Chicago 7, Daniel Kaluuya, Judas and the Black Messiah, Leslie Odom Jr., One Night in Miami, Paul Raci, Sound of Metal, and Lakeith Stanfield, Judas and the Black Messiah.
I have seen all of these.
I have not.
Oh, great.
I've seen three of them.
All right.
I have not seen Judas and the Black Messiah. I've been wanting to, though.
Oh, you had your chance on HBO Max.
Is it gone already?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure it's gone. You might want to double check.
Who's your vote?
I want Daniel Kaluuya to win very badly.
Okay.
Whether he wins or not is a different story. Also, I like Paul Raci. I wish he would win, too. But
Who was Paul Raci?
He was the deaf guy.
Okay.
The teacher for...
The teacher, yeah.
For Riz Ahmed.
The guy he went to go live with?
Yeah, well, he had the house
for
the recovering people.
Right.
But I really want Daniel Kaluuya to win, so that's who I'm going to vote for.
I like Daniel Kaluuya, so he reminds me of my favorite drink, Kaluuya.
No.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he was good in Trial of Chicago 7, but I don't know if it's a winning role, you know what I mean?
I disagree. I don't think he was very good in that role at all.
All right, so...
I think that movie was mostly miscast.
Do you?
Yeah. I didn't really like the movie very much, to be honest.
Oddly cast, maybe. I don't know.
I enjoyed it. That's all that matters, not your opinion. Actress in a leading role. You want to take this one, Kim?
Oh, well, I mean, like, which one I want to choose?
Yeah.
No, read them all.
I don't know. That's too much to read. I'll let you do it. You're the guest.
George, you want to do it, please?
Sure. So, actress in a leading role. Viola Davis in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Andra Day in United States versus Billie Holiday. Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman. Frances McDormand in No Man Land, Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Woman.
I have not seen one of these, so I'm going to go with Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
I have seen three of these.
I like her name.
Carey Mulligan? Is her first name.
It's misspelled, though.
I'm pretty sure Frances McDormand's going to win this one for No Man Land.
Okay.
Maybe. You might be right.
I could be wrong. Like, I could be wrong, but... As much as I love Promising Young Woman, I'm almost guaranteeing that Frances McDormand's going to win this.
Yeah, you could be right.
All right, want to do actress in a supporting role next?
All right, so actress in a supporting role, we have Maria Bakalova.
Like baklava?
Baklava, but Bakalova.
There you go.
In the Borat sequel, subsequent movie, film, whatever... Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman, The Father, Amanda Seyfried in Mank, and Yoo Jung-un in Minari.
So Glenn Close doesn't need another Academy Award.
But do you want to bet against Glenn Close, though?
I don't know.
I mean, I'd go for Olivia Colman, but I like Olivia Colman.
I've only seen one of these movies, so...
Yeah, me too. You ever seen Borat?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that.
I don't know if she was... I mean, she was okay, but I don't know if that was an Oscar-winning performance.
It was it an Oscar-supporting performance?
Maybe.
Like holding the Oscar, supporting it?
I'm going to take a risk here, and I'm going to say Yoo Jung-un from Minari is going to win.
Oh.
There you go.
What about you, Kim?
You know, because I've only seen one. I'm going to go with Olivia Colman just because I like Olivia Colman, you know? She was the queen. I mean, come on.
Right, and she's going to be a Secret Invasion.
Yeah, she's supposed to be with, Secret Invasion. That's right. We just heard about that.
I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with Maria Bakalova.
Bakalova.
You got me saying that.
Sorry.
Because that's probably not going to happen, but...
It probably won't. If it does, it'll be a big surprise.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, so animated feature film, Onward, Over the Moon, a Shaun the Sheep movie, Farmageddon, Soul, and Wolfwalkers. I've seen two of these, and I really, really like Soul.
I've seen four of these.
Okay. You've seen the Shaun the Sheep movie, right?
No, that was the only one I haven't seen.
Sure.
Farmageddon, come on, bro.
Farmageddon.
Farmageddon.
Shaun the Sheep movie, but not this one.
I watched the last SpongeBob movie. That's not on here.
I watched that as well. It was not very good.
It's a SpongeBob movie. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, I really like the first one. I think the first one's great.
And they had the guy from What We Do in the Shadows, Matt Berry.
Yes. He played the Poseidon.
Yeah. Or was and it had, and it had was Keanu, come on.
Or King Neptune.
It was a king, yeah. Maybe Neptune.
Yeah, King Neptune.
I mean, it had Keanu as a freaking dust,
as a whatever. Dust tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed, thank you.
Yeah. His name is Sage, and he's made of sage.
That's true. His beard still annoys me, especially those close-ups where it doesn't really grow like in parts of it, but it's just weird.
Don't hate on Keanu Reeves' beard game.
I am.
He can grow a beard,
but,
right?
But he's magnificent, right?
That's right.
No, he's great. Right, he is. So what about animated
treasure?
Animated, that's for right. You.
Kim? Well, your soul's going to take it, am I right? Because it's taken it several times. And come on, it's got a great soundtrack. It's got a...
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor. There you go.
But it has the John Baptiste, too. That takes it down a point.
Yeah, I'm almost guaranteeing that Soul's going to win. However, yeah. I would really like Wolfwalkers to win.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's on Apple TV Plus. It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. After I finish For All Mankind, I'll watch that.
There you go.
Oh, speaking of Apple TV real quick, I forgot I'm really into I guess there's a new season coming out of Mystic Quest, like in a few weeks. But they put a surprise episode out this week. It was great.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday. It's great.
It was phenomenal.
I don't talk about that show very much because not a lot of people have seen it, so I don't have a lot of people to talk about it with.
I love that show. Yeah, it's great. It's everything you want to be from the guys who created It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia about a video game company.
That's right. It makes me wish video game companies ran like that, but I know they don't. So.
They don't. Trust me. And it's produced by Ubisoft, so.
Yeah, well, they do all the graphics for them.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to do cinematography?
Sure. So the category for cinematography, we have Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, News of the World, Nomadland, and Trial of the Chicago 7.
I've only seen one, so. And I don't think the cinematography was that phenomenal, so. I don't have a good answer here.
Are you talking about Trial of Chicago 7?
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, but I mean. It was a lot of courtroom stuff. I mean, how...
Very, very run-of-the-mill.
Yeah, how special can you make that, you know?
I'm pretty sure Mank's going to win this category.
Isn't it black and white?
Yeah, it's black and white. It's a movie about Hollywood. Hollywood loves movies about Hollywood.
Mm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know, they love jerking themselves off. So I'm pretty sure this is going to be the winner for them.
Okay.
I'm surprised Tenet's not in this category.
Yeah. I mean, no matter how much you like it or don't like it or are confused by that movie, it looked pretty.
It looked great. Like, they got a visual effects nomination, but not a cinematography nomination. Mm-hmm. I find that very interesting.
But most movies like that usually just get special effects, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so. It's not a good movie. There's just no two ways around it, but...
And he's like your favorite director. I'm glad you agree.
He's one of my favorite directors, but...
Do you want to do directing? They don't even put the director's names on here, so...
Yeah, they sure didn't. What the fuck?
Wow, really?
I don't know.
They're like, yeah, fuck
that negates the whole point. Yeah.
So let's skip that.
That guy.
We could say which movie it is on, at least. For the directing category, we have Another Round, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, and Promising Young Woman. Nomadland is directed by... she did a lot of episodes in Mandalorian. What the hell's her name?
Oh. I know. I think I know who you're talking about. I can't think of her name, though.
She's also Chloe? Doing... Chloe? What's her name? Chloe Zhao.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's directing the new Eternals movie.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's, like, talking about her for the win. I haven't seen the movie. Oh, I have seen the movie. I take that back. The movie was kind of slow for me and kind of boring at parts.
Mm.
But it wasn't not pretty.
Okay.
Mank is, of course, directed by David Fincher, and there's no better director than David Fincher.
That almost rhymed in a way.
Yeah, that's right. Promising Young Woman is definitely my dark horse, but this is this person's first movie, and I doubt they're going to win on their very first movie.
Yeah.
But stranger things have happened.
It's nice to be nominated.
It's very nice to be nominated. What's the name of this director? The director's name is Emerald Fennell.
What a name.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a writer on Killing Eve.
Okay.
If you guys have seen that show. So that's why I this Promising Young Woman is even on my radar, because I heard that she was working on this movie, and then I saw the trailer and I was like, holy fuck, this looks great. She was also like one of the writers for The Crown too, which I'm currently watching.
Okay. Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, Kim likes that show a lot.
Well, this last season
was not
bad.
I'm on the first season right now. I'm like halfway through. It's really good.
The first season was a little slower to me, but it got better in this last season because it's Diana, and I was aware of Diana and when she passed and a little bit knowledgeable. So, you know, that one I enjoyed a lot more.
All right. Cool. So let's do sound and visual effects.
Together?
Yeah. So sound, you have Greyhound, Mank, News of the World, Soul, and Sound of Metal. Just for sound design alone, Sound of Metal.
Sound of Metal has to win this one.
Yes. It has to.
Yeah.
If they don't win, I would call that a big, like, overlook right there.
Right. I'm going to call bullshit on it.
Yeah, because that movie basically grabs you by the ears and doesn't let go.
Yeah.
It's great. It's so good.
Visual effects, we have Love and Monsters, The Midnight Sky, Mulan.
I can't believe that movie got nominated.
I don't even know what it is.
Love and Monsters?
The Midnight Sky. I didn't know that one.
That's the George Clooney movie on Netflix.
Oh, okay. Ah. Mulan, The One and Only Ivan, and Tenet.
I think Love and Monsters is awesome.
Yeah, I did too.
I think Tenet has better special effects.
Even visually, Love and Monsters is just like fighting giant monsters. They were great. But
they look like CG monsters.
Yeah, Tenet was something different.
Yeah, it was fresh and unique take on special effects.
Yeah, even though the movie wasn't great or good.
Exactly. I'm surprised Tenet wasn't also nominated for editing, because that took some serious editing to get it right.
The movie was
confusing as shit, so probably that's a mark against
why. Yeah, right.
Play on the editor.
So, adapted screenplay, we have Borat, subsequent movie film, The Father, Nomadland, One Night in Miami,
and
The White
Tiger.
What is
Borat adapted from?
I don't know. That's a great question.
How is Borat nominated for adapted screenplay?
My vote is for One Night in Miami. I love that movie. It was so great.
Yeah, it's really cool. That was based on a play, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was very... You had to really pay attention. It was set up like a play, the whole movie, you know?
Yeah, well,
but I thought it was great.
And one hotel room, so.
Yeah, a fictional, basically. Fictional version of, like, Muhammad Ali. Who else was in that? It was Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke. Not
Redding. Who else was it in that movie? It was a football guy?
Football guy.
The name escapes me right now. I have to do some searching really quick. I saw that a long time ago.
No, ask our friend Google. Google usually knows right from wrong.
The voice from the other room doesn't know.
It right has now. Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown.
Jim Brown, that's a name I couldn't think of. I liked it. I saw it, the director, what's her name now? I'm just brain farting it all night.
It's been a long day, right?
Regina King?
Regina King, thank you.
Yes. From she was in The Watchmen recently.
Yes, I remember that now. I just couldn't remember her name. Okay, original screenplay, Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of the Chicago Seven.
I think this is going to be the category Promising Young Woman takes the cake.
Screenplay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Do you want to do original score or song?
Sure.
It'll be soul, right? We already know that.
I think One Night in Miami is going to win this one, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. So, original song, you have Fight For You. I don't know any of these tracks, really. I don't remember. From Judas and the Black Messiah, you have The Trial of the Chicago Seven. You have Husavik from Eurovision Song Contest.
There you go.
You have
the very first song, or is that the song that they went to the competition with?
I think it's the song they went to the competition with.
I like the first song in the movie, the song that they open up with.
And then Speak Now from One Night in Miami. I could see the One Night in Miami song working. I don't know the track from Judas and the Black Messiah yet.
Eurovision, that one.
It'd be funny if Eurovision won. They had to win something.
That would be very funny, actually.
And original score, Defy Bloods, Mank, Minari.
Travesty that Defy Bloods only got nominated for original score.
I agree. Original score, not even anything else.
Yeah, it's a travesty. That's the only thing they're nominated for.
News of the World and Soul. I would say Soul would probably win original score.
I agree with that. I think Soul is the best standout in this category.
Yeah. All right, let's do the big daddy here, the best picture.
Oh,
this is the first year in a long time where I really don't have a horse in the race. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of Chicago 7. If I had to pick something from what I've seen and I really enjoyed, I'm going to say Sound of Metal.
Yeah.
I really like it, but I don't think it's going to win. I think the winner here is going to be Nomadland or Mank.
I don't know about Mank. I think it'll win something else, but I think Nomadland is probably going to win Best Picture because it has so much buzz. It has so much buzz behind it, and you can tell, you know, when movies have that buzz behind it. It's obvious.
It's also like it's a movie that's widely available. It's on Hulu and
We have four.
A lot of people seem to like it.
We have 3 or 4 days. We can watch all these movies in time.
No,
you know, I would say I would want Promising Young Woman to win, but it's not going to. I haven't seen Minari yet, but maybe Minari is like the dark horse here, and it just
maybe
it pulls a crazy win out of nowhere.
What about Judas and the Black Messiah?
I liked it a lot. However, I don't think it's Best Picture. I think the message that it has is fantastic and powerful. I had a problem watching the movie. I had a problem understanding a lot of what the characters are saying throughout the movie. So I had to like rewind it and watch it back with subtitles. Okay. Just because a lot of the characters seem to mumble or they're speaking in very heavy accents, like the Chicago accents that I didn't understand. So I had to like, wait, what? What
maybe
was he saying?
I grew up on that accent. Maybe I know. That's my family's from. I don't know.
So there was some of that stuff that kind of bothered me. I thought some of the pacing was a little off in the movie, but overall it was really good.
So if we're all wrong, it's not our fault. And if we're all right on our selections, it's not our fault either.
Yeah. There you go.
So, yeah, tune in. It's Sunday, April 25th. It's coming up Sunday as we release this. So.
Yeah, Steven Soderbergh is directing this year's Oscars.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
There's no host. Is that what I heard?
I don't remember. I don't remember if that's true. And I think it's supposed to play out like a movie.
Interesting. That'd be fun.
Yeah, well, someone else will have to watch it because I normally don't watch the Oscars.
We always go together with some friends on, well, usually in person, but in the past year we did virtual, so we always get together and just, we have the little printout, we make our selections, and somebody wins at the end.
Did they have Oscars last year, or did they cancel it?
They had it.
They did?
Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
It was very weird, but yeah. All right, so thanks for tuning in to that part of the show. We usually do George Hates Metal now, but we don't have anything picked, so we're gonna play it a little bit different, really quick. George, the last time we talked about George Hates Metal, you introduced us to a band that I had never heard of called White Void.
Yes,
that I absolutely love now.
Yeah, we really like
them. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Because it's the vocalist from Bortnagar.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that when I suggested it. So,
as my co-host from MSRcast, Bortnagar. We always get into a fight of how to pronounce it. Yeah, it's a really good album. So, on that end, do you have something else to recommend to us on George Hates Metal? He's going to pull up his phone now.
I have to, I have to look to see what I've been listening to.
George recommends metal.
There you go.
It's a new segment that no one likes. Aww. Oh, man. I don't think I've listened to anything new. I mean, nothing that nobody would want to hear, for sure.
I'll disagree on that.
Well, Red Fang's new album or new single came out. So
I heard that.
I've been listening to that. Black Keys released a new single, so I've been listening to that and a lot of Dan Auerbach stuff.
I was about to say, you listen to this band with like colors in their name.
It's true. Usually it makes me think, oh, maybe I should check them out. And then, you know. Oh, Blood Red Hourglass came out with a new single, which was good.
Yeah. I listened to that.
And what else? What else have I listened to? I found this group called Bloody Hammers, but they're like alternative. They're alternative. They're like a gothic alternative rock group.
They're very influenced, like by the Misfits and sort of retro sounding. Yeah, I know them.
Yeah, they're not too bad. I think it's a dude and his girlfriend are basically the whole band.
That's cool.
And then I came across this Russian band called Ruskaja. They sing English songs, but they have a very heavy Russian accent. And they have this single called Get Lucky, and it's hilarious to hear Get Lucky in a Russian accent.
I would imagine so.
That's good.
What about you, Kim? Do you have any recommendations?
For music? No, not really. I've been listening to podcasts mostly.
What's that? What's a podcast?
What's a podcast? I don't know.
What is those podcasts? Is it like the radio?
You have to listen to it on your
internet.
Yeah. But you have to listen to it on your iPad. Or your iPod.
Your iPod.
Your iPod. My iPod. I'm going to have to dig that out.
I had that when I first started doing podcasting. They're like, I don't even have an iPod. I can't listen. I'm like, you don't have to have an iPod, dude. What about
radio on the internet?
I want to talk about a couple things.
She didn't mention the show she was listening to. I'm sorry.
Podcast. What are your podcasts you're listening to? Besides Metal Geeks podcast.
Yeah, right. A lot of just little things. This latest one I started listening to, Mayim Bialik has a podcast. She also does a YouTube thing, like video and audio both. But this episode I started listening to has Brian Posehn in it, and he's talking about like D&D and being geeky. So yeah, that's something you definitely would. I think you'd be interested in.
I like Posehn.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten to the middle part. He's just talking about growing up, being a kid, being geeky, and wanting to play D&D. And I guess they have a D&D group together, Mayim and him and some other people. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the new Halloween track that came out called Skyfall.
Oh.
The new album comes out in June.
Is it in the James Bond movie?
It is not. It should be, though. It's so good.
Same name, right?
I know. That movie's never coming out, so it don't matter anyways.
It's coming out next year, or this year.
I want to talk about the new Subterranean Masquerade. Great band from Israel, progressive, like a progressive rock sort of slash metal band. The new album's coming out. I'm not sure I got the promo for it. So it's called Mountain Fever. It's really good. Where it says there's this death doom band that is depressing as hell called Woe Unto Me. The album is called Spiral-Shaped Hope Wreck. If you're a fan of Swallow the Sun, I think you would dig these guys. One of the tracks is the epitome of what they're about. It's called Sad and Slow.
Okay.
Yeah, I really dig those guys.
They really bury the lead in their name
they
and
did.
Titles.
They did. There's a great another progressive band. It's only, unfortunately, there's only like four songs. The rest of it, it's like the same song, but instrumental. They're called Kardashev. Really good. And the New Memoriam, man. If you like high quality fucking death metal, it features Carl Willits, who used to be in Bolt Thrower. George, you've introduced me to a couple death metal bands. I think this is up your alley.
And what was the name really, of the band?
Memoriam.
Memoriam.
Yeah. They're very fast paced and catchy and really, really good. But yeah, there's been a lot of good stuff recently, but that's what I've been listening to a lot recently.
These guys look old in their picture.
Because they probably are.
They look really old. Like
their name is
like
Memoriam, so
they're jamming out in their 40s or 50s here.
But that's 40s not old. Isn't old though.
40s isn't old, bro.
Okay, they don't look like they're 40s. I misspoke. They look like they're in their 70s. Is what I'm talking about.
Are they English?
They're not that old.
No, but no. This one guy looks really old in the picture though.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Three band members look really, really old in these pictures. They look like they got one young guy.
They're English, actually.
Yeah, Birmingham. Yeah.
Yep. It's Baltimore singer Carl Willits and Benediction bass player Frank Healy.
From Nuclear Blast Records.
Yeah. Check it out, dude. I think you would actually dig it.
Benediction, that's a throwback.
Yeah. all right. So before we wrap up the show, we're going to get into what's tickling our geek. George, I want to let you go first, because what's tickling my geek and maybe Kim's geek is the same thing.
Yeah, it could be if we're both talking about trips coming up.
Yeah, we are talking about trips coming up. Oh, not okay. Tripses, but...
Hey-o. Whoa, hey. We like that too.
we officially just bought our tickets for Disney. We'll be going
to Disney World.
Disney World in December. Will be there for 7 days.
Where are y'all staying at?
I'm sorry. Technically, we'll be in Orlando for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
We're only being in Disney for like 6 of those 10 days.
Cool. What are you doing the rest of the time? Going to Universal?
Universal, yeah.
Oh, you okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a crime to Catherine for us to go to so close to Hogwarts. And
That's true.
Totally.
you have to.
They have a new ride, too, so you have to go to the new ride. Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't do, like, fast-paced rides, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to do the rides by myself while she just stands and waits.
Aww.
See if you can take your GoPro.
No. There you go. I'll film it for her so she can get the
dude, for it. Tell her she has to ride it. She's going, she has to ride it.
That's what I told her, but she doesn't want to.
That, by the time you go, that new Jurassic Velocicoaster should be open.
Oh, yeah. She definitely won't ride that one.
She definitely won't ride that.
No, I won't either.
So that's interesting news. Where are y'all staying at?
We are going to be staying at the Disney All-Stars Movie Resort.
Okay. Cool. I've been there. I've stayed there before. Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
The All-Star Movie, yeah.
All-Star Movies Resort.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, I've never stayed on park before, so this will be my first time staying on park.
On property,
yeah,
you're gonna love it, dude. It's a game changer.
Yeah,
I wish I was going in December, but you know when else I wish I was going?
Tomorrow.
How about Tuesday?
Tuesday, are you going Tuesday?
We're leaving next week on Tuesday.
Oh, nice! I didn't realize it was so soon. I knew you guys were going soon, but I didn't realize it was next week.
This month has just sort of flown by, man. We are leaving on the 27th. We're coming back on May 5th. So we're actually going to be, I have a reservation. Did you get your reservations yet? Did you buy tickets?
No, like we literally just bought tickets before we got on the show.
I think you have to wait like 60 or 90 days out, right?
No, you can make your park reservations.
You can make the reservation as soon as you make the purchase.
Okay.
But you're talking about food and like that kind of reservations. You have to wait. But I'm gonna pull up my spreadsheet that I created.
Yeah, he's got a spreadsheet of everything. I'm just like, damn, dude.
I get into this shit,
better
man.
Better you than I. Just let me know when I need to be there, and I'll be there.
What day are you going to Galaxy's Edge?
Well, technically, I have, because right now you still have to book reservations. So I have 3 mornings booked at Hollywood Studios because I am not going to miss a chance to get on Rise of Resistance.
Yeah.
So I read recently to get on the Rise of Resistance, they do reservations 2 times a day.
Yes.
7 and 1:30.
That one, 7 and 1. So 7, you can be in your hotel room, but they go in seconds. And the 1 p.m. one, it used to be you had to be in the park. But now,
according to the rules, you still have to be.
No, they just changed it like a couple days ago. Now you still have to check into Hollywood Studios before. But you could leave the park and go to like somewhere else to get lunch or something, and then as long as you've checked into Hollywood Studios in the morning, you can still get that 1 p.m. You can try to get the 1 p.m.
So reservation. Is Hollywood Studios the first thing you're doing?
No, actually, because we're not getting into like 11 or 12. You know,
that's when we're getting in.
The first day we're going to do Epcot because we want to do like.
Drink
and walk around eat all the flower and garden festival stuff. Okay. But
all
the flowers and gardens. But we could go to Hollywood Studios if we wanted to, because the way they're doing it now, I don't know how it will be in December, but if you make a reservation for a park at 2 p.m., you can move to a different park if you desire. If there's opening, you can check in the app.
So I just read that. If you have the park hopper option, you can go to any park that you want to.
Only if there's an opening.
They didn't say that in the fine print.
The fine print for sure. Because if you started at Epcot and you wanted to go to Hollywood Studios, if there's no open spots at Hollywood Studios, you can't go.
Right. So like, I know I can go to Hollywood Studios, but not Galaxy's Edge. Like that's how it works.
No, you can go to Galaxy's Edge. You're just not going to be able to probably get on Rise of Resistance.
So
I would definitely look into your reservations. Who knows what's going to be in December? Who knows what the world's going to be like in December, you know?
It could be like a whole new disease by then.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, we have some great – we're meeting up with our good friend Brian, who does a lot of stuff for the show, and his wife on one night. We're actually going to be there during our 15-year wedding anniversary.
Aw, congratulations, so you two.
Our honeymoon was spent there, too. So this is sort of same hotel, everything. It's going to be cool. And we got cool reservations.
Where are y'all staying at?
Pop Century.
Nice.
It's our favorite, value.
I tried getting Pop Century, but it sold out.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
We're going to be right on the Skyliner route. We can just go to Epcot when we get to our hotel, do whatever we want.
Yeah,
it's gonna be nice.
So for mine, the resort I'm staying at, it has quick access to the gondola rides.
It does not.
Talking about Sky.
I think that's what I read somewhere.
No,
anyway.
The All Star Movies is not near the gondola. The Skyliner.
It's not.
No.
No, I thought it was. I thought I read that somewhere.
You could probably. It's probably not far. You could probably. But I mean, you would take a bus or whatever. You take a bus to the park. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Are you gonna rent a car when you're there or no?
No, probably not. No.
Okay.
Yeah, we just take their transportation. It's included.
That's what we're gonna do. I mean, if it gets really bad, we'll just Uber somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I'm excited for is I got all the reservations at Galaxy's Edge that I wanted. Mm-hmm. We got a reservation at Droid Depot.
Yeah,
we have a reservation at Savi's Workshop to get our lightsaber, which pisses me off. Yesterday they announced there's a $20 price hike on the lightsaber. Like, come on. And
it's just because you are made reservations. That's why.
It's Carrie's fault.
And I was trying and trying and trying to get a reservation for Oga's Cantina. I pay for the service called Mouse Dining. What you do, you pay $9 a month, and you can create these alerts for where you want to eat or go to. And if there's a reservation that pops up, they text you and then you can book it real quick. Well, finally got one for Oga's, which is basically a bar based in the Star Wars universe at 9:30 in the morning.
That's cool.
But you're on vacation, right? Drink early, right?
Yeah, drinking at 9:30 in the morning. Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. At least we got in. I mean, I would be upset if we didn't get in. Because, I mean, it has Rex from the old pilot from Star Tours at the DJ in there. I mean, it's cool.
Rex in effect. That's right.
He's Rex in effect. So, yeah, we're excited. We're going for 8 days. We have an 8-day park ticket. Yeah.
8-day park tickets. Wow. Are you going to go to Universal at all?
We're not going to Universal this trip. Because we're not, I'm not exactly 100% with their COVID policies. They haven't been really as adamant about stuff. It's forcing as much as Disney has.
I see.
I mean, and we're both fully vaccinated and we're weeks out. So we feel comfortable by being in Disney. We're going to do everything right. We're going to wear a mask. We're going to sanitize. We're going to social distance from people as much as we can.
Well, Disney takes it pretty serious, what I understand.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, next time we go to Florida, you know, we're definitely going to hit up Universal.
Yeah.
Not this time.
I don't know. We just wanted to sort of take it easy and, I mean, have time to do other things, like go to Disney Springs and, you know, Galaxy's Edge is the most important part of our trip,
spend a lot of time there, hopefully.
And, you know, hang around in some other hotels that we've never been to. Go get a drink somewhere, you know?
Almost kind of like Vegas, we go to the different hotels to look around.
Yep.
But Disney.
Might take an afternoon to bust it around somewhere.
There you go.
It'll be fun.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you guys are going. I wish you were going again with us, but...
Yeah. Well, it's too soon for us to go right now, but... You guys had this plan like from a year ago, right?
Yeah, we booked it last January, I think. So,
yeah, it was supposed to be for May of last year, but yeah.
Yep.
But I had to schedule on work, too, so it's kind of hard. Certain times of year is better to go work-wise, so then it's better to go because of crowd and yada yada, weather and, you know.
Yep. I think April is going to be nice.
I hope you guys have a great time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure
you will. Y'all too.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see photos.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited.
I've never been to Disney during the holidays.
Yeah.
Last time we went in October, right?
In October, yeah.
That's holiday.
Well, not
like all decked out for like the Christmas
holidays.
Oh, for Christmas, I gotcha.
Yeah, because they go to the nines, obviously. Well, they do pre-pandemic. They don't do it to the nines last year.
Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, people keep getting vaccinated and, you know, we'll get closer to herd immunity sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I think by December, we're going to be living in a completely different world. I hope. I'm hoping.
Hope so. We'll see when we get there.
A good, completely different world, not a bad.
Yeah.
You have to state that. In a good way, not a bad way. Or worse way.
Yeah, I'm excited for the trip. It's been a weird couple of weeks for me with life changes, so this trip is definitely something I need, you know. Yeah.
Here, same.
Absolutely. I can't remember. I don't think I can't remember the last vacation Catherine and I actually taken. Like, we didn't get to go to anywhere for our honeymoon, so we had since we've been married, we haven't really gone anywhere.
You've gone to Austin, right?
We went to Austin recently, but I mean, Austin's Austin. I wouldn't call it a vacation.
That's the weekend trip. That's different. Yeah.
We went there a couple last year.
It's a nice weekend trip for sure.
Yeah.
I think you guys are going to have a good time.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've never been in any of the resorts before. I've only ever stayed, like, in the crappy hotels.
Outside the bubble, as they say.
Outside of the bubble. You know,
It's a totally different experience, man, living or staying in that Disney bubble. And I think you will like All-Star Movies. I mean, I used to stay there before Pop Century, so.
Is it far from the park? I've never, for whatever weird reason, I thought it really was, like, connected to the gondola ride.
No, the Skyliner is connected to Pop Century, and a couple other hotels. But you got to remember, the Skyliner is only connected to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. It doesn't go to Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom.
That I knew already.
Yeah. But the bus service is really great. It runs all the time. So, I mean, even if you like I said, if you need to Uber to get to a park early or something one day, you can. You know what I mean?
I think that's what we're probably going to do for the days that I want to ride Rise of the Resistance. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not that bad by the time you go.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. But
maybe they'll change the way it works, you know?
Yeah.
I'm nervous about getting that reservation. I want to at least ride it once, hopefully twice, but...
Yes.
I told Catherine I would like to go to Galaxy's Edge at minimum twice.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. We actually have a reservation for Galaxy's Edge on May the 4th.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
So
now I remember the fact that you made that on purpose.
Yeah,
I did it originally, but then I realized I'm like, we're going to be there on May the 4th. I'm like, I've got to change our reservation, so I did it quickly, and now we have reservations.
So
it's probably going to be stupid busy, but
yeah, it's going to be stupid busy, and they've got to be doing something crazy special, I imagine.
I don't know. It's still 35% capacity right now, so but that could still even get busy. It could look busy, but it might not be as busy because there's still all that social distancing in the line. So I watch a lot of vloggers and stuff like that, and it looks like the lines are super long, but there could only be like half an hour, you know what I mean? Or 20 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal, especially for some of the bigger rides, but those social distancing lines look like they're like hours long, you know, but they're not.
It's because they're spaced out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you did a Star Wars joke there. I get it. Spaced out.
There you go.
But yeah, I think we're going to bring a little recorder. We're going to maybe do a couple little segments. Hopefully the People Mover is open by the time we go.
Oh,
it's supposed to open.
I thought that was like shut down for good.
No, they haven't reopened it since the pandemic when they reopened, but it's supposed to reopen on May the 1st.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know they were supposed to reopen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Because, yeah, that's so much fun just to podcast on there like we did last time. I don't know why. It just was.
Yeah, we did do an episode on the People Mover, right?
We did.
Yeah, I remember that now. It was right before we went to, is it Spaceship Earth?
Space Mountain. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You got to get your parks right, man, if you're going again.
I'm also excited to see the new stuff they did to Epcot.
Yeah, by the time you go, it'll be more done.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going. Also, we're going through. We're going when there's still construction walls up and shit.
Yeah. The
because you'll be going.
Ratatouille stuff won't be open when you guys go, right?
No, it opens October 1st, which is the 50th anniversary. So you guys will be there for the 50th.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to hoping to get there exactly on the 50th, but it was super packed or sold out.
I bet.
So
also we have a lot of stuff going on in October and November. So
yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to sort of wrap up this episode. Something else that's tickling my geek is we have another live episode coming up on May the 9th. After we get back, of course. With Stefan Nordstrom from the band Soliloquium. We'll be talking about all kinds of metal stuff, his band. He runs a website that I adore called deathdoom.com. Talks about all these different bands and stuff like that. And we'll see what he geeks out on. I think it'll be fun. Of course, you can find us on the internet, metalgeeks.net or msrcast.com. You can search for us on all your platforms where you get your podcast from Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher, any podcatching device or app you have on your device. You can find MSRcast or Metal Geeks. Just search for us there. We're on all the social medias at Metal Geeks. We are part of the ESO Network. Visit esonetwork.com. Check out all the great shows that make up the network. Am I forgetting anything?
No.
No?
Okay. I don't think so. Be sure to like and subscribe and share it with your friends.
There you go.
Review.
There you go.
It really does help when you leave a review, even if it's like a sentence or two.
Even if it's a bad one.
Well, if it's a bad one, make it about Carrie if it's a bad one.
If it's a bad one, I was going to say, if it's a bad one, make it. No, if it's a bad one, disagree with George's opinions on movies.
Yeah, because there would be wrong.
Wrong. Yeah, you're
exactly.
Your opinion is wrong. I was going to say something. You got me lost now.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
All right, what about you guys? Where can people find more information of what you're doing right now?
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis. I'm not doing anything out of the norm besides working and currently working on some side projects, trying to get that going before, you know, before I croak over and die or something. Anyway, if you want to see some more musings of me talking shit about movies or complaining about trying to figure out how NFTs work.
Yeah, no shit. What the fuck is an NFT?
Don't care.
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, but I don't really post so much to Facebook anymore.
And Kim, do you have anything you want to promote?
You can find me on the Metal Geek Society page on Facebook.
That's what I was forgetting. Tell me, what is the Metal Geek Society page?
That's a group of geeky metal people posting stuff that they think is amusing. I don't know. Just stuff like that. I post frequently-ish, so... It's been a lot of fun.
There's a lot of memes and trailers and all this kind of cool stuff. So, yeah, join us there. If you are on Facebook, just ask to be part of the Metal Geek Society.
Speaking of trailers, did y'all watch that new Marvel trailer, the Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings?
Yes, yeah. I did.
It looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm digging it.
I
like Awkwafina, so.
I have a couple of minor complaints, but it's the same shit I've been complaining about for Marvel for years now, and it's like beating a dead horse.
Mm.
Yeah, I just feel like they overdo it with the special effects, and it just kind of looks overly produced.
Well, like, they are.
Yeah, but like, you know, that was my major problem with Captain Marvel. Like, all of her action sequences didn't look... Good. Because it felt so telegraphed and it also felt so computer rendered.
Yeah.
This one, it looked like it's kind of somewhere in the middle. So hopefully the trailer was fooling me and there'll be cooler action sequences.
Yeah, I know nothing about the character, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the character. I know a little bit about the Ten Rings.
Okay.
But, I mean, very, very little. And the little I know about has to do with the what's his face for the Iron Man guy,
The Mandarin.
The Mandarin, yeah. Thank you. I was gonna say the Mandalorian, but I knew that.
So was I. Yeah.
But the second unit director was part of Jackie Chan's stunt teams, and he's done a lot of great action movies. So. I have high hopes.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Loki's coming up soon. What, in June?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's coming
up. Yeah.
I'm excited for Loki coming out.
Yeah.
And we have one more episode left of Falcon and the Snowman. Oh, sorry, the Winter Soldier.
No, it's Falcor and the Winter Soldier.
Falcor and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
That's right. It better be a long episode because they got a lot of shit to cover up.
They do.
Thank you.
They gotta figure out what that girl from Star Wars is doing.
Yeah.
Dying, apparently.
Oh, maybe. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you to Kim for being my partner in life and then my co-host this evening.
Thank you to
George for being my partner in life and my co-host this evening.
You're quite welcome.
And as always, we have one last thing we have to say.
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky. America. Like in, like, what's
Team America.
USA agent.
US agent? No.
Wait, though, he fucking killed that dude with the shield. It was great.
Oh, that was brutal. That was pretty.
America.
Yeah, that was pretty metal.
That was pretty metal. That was very pretty metal.
Pretty vibranium, maybe.
Pretty. Almost adamantium, but more not vibranium.
But not unobtainium. Yeah.
Not unobtainium. Do they take, I wonder at Disney, do they take payment with unobtainium at the Avatar Land?
They must, because, you know, no one else has that currency.
That's true.
They got paid in full by James Cameron in unobtainium.
That's right. And it's almost as bad as the NFT.
Exactly. Oh. It's just as complicated and just untangible.
Right. Oh. All right, guys. Thanks again. Keep it metal. And
always keep it geeky.
Thank you.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
I'm Lifelong Ensign Charles Kelso.
I'm Federation Envoy Keith Johnson.
I'm Ferengi Counselor Veronica Dashel.
And I'm Andorian Mess Hall Cook R. Alan Seiler.
And we're the crew of Earth Station Trek. Join us for
episode reviews,
discussions of themes and characters,
and all the news from across the Trekverse.
Our logs cover the full gamut of Star Trek.
From the groundbreaking original series
to the future of the franchise on Paramount Plus,
with lots of stops in between.
Join our crew aboard Earth Station Trek for your regular podcast escape into the Trekverse.
Go bald or go home!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.